Make this a
sure.
And welcome everybody to another Sunday morning Jesus as Us conversation. You're all looking fine. But what I'm going to do is also take a screenshot. I haven't done that. Update to everybody. So it's how you look. Joan and Jerry, of course, won't get in it. We'll get them sooner or later. Chrissy, I find that interesting. So how you face stress is different now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting because it felt like before. So our truck broke down and that instantly it was like, okay, this could go. Or I would say it would go one direction. Mm-hmm. I would be overwhelmed, anxious, feeling like, you know, it was just too much. Why did this happen? Or all this kind of stuff. But last night, I mean, both of us were just different. We kind of just slowed down mm-hmm. and looked at it differently. Like, well, we are so close to our house.
It was just like, thank goodness. It's like we have a second car and that just went out too. So our backup car was like, it's gone. And we were like, we need to do some of that. And we were like, trucks run fine. And we'll be fine. And we drove out to Beaver Creek. And on the way home, there's this big dead spot. And I'm just like, so thankful it didn't die there because uh-huh. We would be stuck. We wouldn't have a calling bay or anything.
No service.
So it died about a minute from home. It was weird. I felt thankful. I was like, it wasn't really a big deal. Like, normally we would have like panicked and stressed out and upset.
Yeah. And it's just like, and we kind of saw it too, like, okay, we're just going to take care of it. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like that's what you do. You just will get it into the shop and get it towed there and all that good stuff. And, you know, God's got this. And and also it was like, okay, where's my lesson in all this? And, you know, there were lots of things last night, just the blessing of it died very also close to a police station, and a cop was there in truly a second. And it was like, how can I help? And
it was ironic great. Because David said a thing about praying for Chrissy, and I meant it when I said he has. Like,
yeah, it was.
I'm not trying to bring any shame at all here, but no shame whatsoever. But the car was making noises, and I was like, "Baby, take it and get fixed." And she's like, "The guy at the shop said it didn't have to be fixed yet." And I was like, "Just take it, get it fixed. You never know." And
yeah, loud and clear.
Loud and clear.
So it's but it was more of a peace in the in what felt like it could have easily felt like just this huge storm, and there was a peace there, and that was interesting.
And honestly, for me, I normally would get really like upset about something like that, like, why didn't you take a truck in, why hasn't it been fixed yet, and gotten on her a little bit about it. But it was like it's not that I didn't care, it's like I knew it would be solved and I wasn't worried about it.
Yeah, worry is different.
Yeah, it's just very different.
Yeah, stress and worry are just different now. Anyway, so it was
good.
It was okay, and it will be okay. And anyway, God definitely has us through all of it. So the big and the small.
It is fun to learn that. Say again, Arnold.
What did Jesus say about worrying? Worry.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't add anything.
Yeah, certainly. And where's the trust in God if we are worrying? Yeah. You know, I trust in God. I trust He's got us, and He does. And so
yesterday, our friend Lolly in Kenya said something to me before we left. She asked me about what it means that, like, why does it say still, kill, and destroy in that order? She was saying, why? And I responded to her, I said, because Satan wants to steal your joy, kill your spirit, and destroy your hope. Yeah. And it was like, I think the whole day after she said that to me was kind of like, I've been more focused on making sure he doesn't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
that I felt like yesterday when the car broke down, it was like we were seriously a minute from our house. And it was nighttime, it was cold, and I didn't want to get out and walk. I was about to do that. And I mean, I'm disabled, so I wasn't like I was gonna get out and walk. And luckily you had two really nice police officers stop and help us push the car out of the way. And it was like I just didn't have any concern. Like I wasn't worried about it.
Yeah, it's interesting that stealing your joy and we had talked about it on the way out, which is so funny. But we talked on the way out and was like, yeah, Satan does want to steal your joy, you know, wants joy for you always. And he wants to steal it. I don't want to give him any of that. No. I don't want to ever give him any of that. So anyway, so that was kind of another thing to think about. Like if I can stay joyful in this trial, whatever it is, the good and the bad, then I'm fully present. I just feel like, you know, I'm taken care of and covered and loved.
Sounds like another podcast.
I think so.
Probably become one.
Yeah, let's do it. That's great stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
Worry does nothing.
Yeah.
It's like a rabbit hole.
We're going to go through the situation either way.
Either way.
So, right. In worry and strain and stress. Yeah. No. So anyway.
So instead of worry, put your focus on watching for Father.
Yeah. Amen.
What's he going to do? What is he doing in this?
Should we just say focus on where we were and what God's doing right now? And it's never been that way before. It's always you let life stress get to you. And it's been very different lately.
Mm-hmm.
You say peace. The old thought was, God, please give me peace. Mm-hmm. That was what we used to hear a lot and tell people, just pray for peace. You tapped into peace that was already there is what it sounds like.
Well, something else about that. I also have this thing where I realize that it's not that he wants you to be patient. Mm-hmm. But he wants you to embody patience.
Mm.
And it's like, for instance, where he wants you to embody those things, like, and become those things. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I've been thinking about more and more and more. Yeah. And maybe that's it. I don't know. I've kind of gone through a pretty radical last few months, and it wouldn't surprise me. It's not surprising to me that I'm seeing things that way. I want to be these things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's
and change my perspective on everything.
Because instead of praying for it, be it, and then and listen, and like that knowing and that being in the presence, Christ is in me. I mean, like I that's right there all the time. So I don't know. Worry and stress, like, you know, Jesus is like, well, what are you doing? Like, I'm right here. So anyway,
That's why I love this, the concordant, when he says, he uses the word realize.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is a different than the normal English, grow in the knowledge of God. Well, that can mean facts and theory or whatever, but realize, there's something about my personal understanding. I'm connecting with something that's there already. My eyes haven't seen it before. Now I realize it.
Right. And I think that what you're hitting on is so interesting too, because when you realize, it's like this, it's almost like, so there's no denying, my eyes are open, I realize. Mm-hmm. And that's why it feels like such a dramatic shift in a lot of ways, because I feel like I'm finally using my eyes in that in a way for the first time.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, whoa, you know, every day feels like, what's today going to bring? Because, you know, that just is.
Absolutely. Every day is an adventure.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. It's neat.
And you realize God is there. He's waiting for me to catch up, so to speak. You know? Oh, good morning. I'm here. Yeah. And so we said, oh, hi, Father, what are you doing today? And, you know, what's on your agenda? Well, did you know your car's going to break down and you're going to
surprise.
Yeah. So don't get excited. Just relax. Yeah. I got this. I think of Jesus, how he experienced that with the Father. Every day he wakes up and, okay, Father, show me what you're doing today. It's like another opportunity, another day to see where he was working and what he was saying. And Jesus had to just partner with him.
Love it.
And everything, he turns, here's the other thing too, that we can just take it at, just rest it, let it rest in our souls, that everything he's working on is for the good.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it at all, does it? You got a truck down and your other car won't work. That doesn't look good. But Father says, no, I'm turning this to good.
Yeah. I love it.
Can I share something?
Oh, absolutely. We were waiting for it.
It's mostly for myself as a reminder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So back in 2011, I was facing another time in life where it was just like, man, it's this, not that my dreams weren't, you know, coming to fruition, but just stuff that my goals were being kind of crushed. And I was having to go back to work full time at Alaska Airlines and abandon a business I had just launched. And I was raised by a just a worry, negative, like she's glass half empty, you know, everything is drama and everything is negative. And but I learned a long time ago that we're supposed to be, or we should be thankful. When we're thankful for anything and everything, there's something just almost even supernatural that happens. And also, I've mentioned this before, just the verse that talks about we speak either words of life or words of death. And what we put out there really makes a difference. And so I just, instead of just looking at it like, dang, you know, my life is, you know, gonna kind of suck now, I was just like, you know, I'm gonna do that. I'm going to just choose to be thankful, and just, I would purposefully thank God, and I would, you know, really feel it too. And, you know, I don't know, for what it's worth, it really helped me. And I had a really good run of it after that. Like going back to work, it wasn't bad. It was a positive time in my life. And anyway, so
just unpacking that a bit more, you said just speaking. What did you say? What did you speak about that you think turned?
Just gratefulness.
Okay.
Even when you've been handed a crap card. I'm so sorry. I just can't. I don't have access to my brain this morning. I'm so tired. But being thankful.
You're okay, sister.
But just being thankful regardless. And. Okay. Just like I know Paul, I'm not good at recalling stuff specifically in the Bible, but I know Paul has done that, and he's talked about that, and just being thankful, mm-hmm. even when you don't see it, or, you know, but whatever hand you've been dealt, just be thankful. Mm-hmm. Speaking of hands, and this is very way off topic, but I hit a royal flush in Lincoln City.
That's impressive.
Is this a praise or a confession?
I was dead at hand. I was like, whoa.
Good for you. We rejoice.
But anyway, it's just it's choosing to be grateful, I guess, mm-hmm. because you don't feel it always, but you choose you choose that and then you speak it forth and you just say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Help me, you know, or whatever.
But
it works.
Yeah, it does.
As soon as that truck thing happened, I said, I sat there and talked to God and said, I'm actually thankful for this moment. Because the Bible talks a lot about being thankful for your trials. Mm-hmm. And so it hit me. I've never done that before. So it was like, I saw like, wow, I mean, I saw that I'd grown. And so it's like, you're right. Being thankful for things is so important.
And it's like you're saying, Beth, too, you have to stop and verbalize it, or you have to stop and actually take that action to say it and not just passing by think it. It's like, it really sometimes just has to be, wow, I really am grateful. And every moment, you know, even if it's like every 5 minutes I'm saying it because I'm going through something.
And that's, it's just really something to it.
Yeah. I think that part of that too, though, that's trust. That's the trust in God. Yeah. He will never forsake us. Ever. And so he has us through all of it.
Arnold, you look it cuts in and out, but no, we go ahead.
Anyway, when I came home from the hospital, I've learned something entirely different in my life of what people feel like when they're in extreme pain and living in pain. Because I have been, a lot with the surgeries I've been through. We came home from the last one, and I noticed I was just being cranky. Things weren't looking good. And we got to our home, and I just, the same type of thing. It's just like, oh, our home is so comfortable. And it's like immediately went into, thank you for allowing us to have this peace at home. Mm-hmm. And let's, you know, it's like realizing that God was giving me peace despite pain and, you know, being cranky and being on edge with Julie, and our son was here, and just, oh, okay, we don't need to do that.
I fully understand that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Arnold. Yes. Speaking is, I'm learning more and more that speaking is the power God gives us to, it doesn't change the situation, but it changes our perspective. And sometimes it will change the situation if the circumstances are there. But I go back to that basic statement Paul tells us in Romans 8, 9, and 10. It's with the mouth that we make confession. If we confess Christ, we'll be saved. We have to say it. And it isn't just going to become a realization for us until we speak it. Isn't that interesting? It with your mouth, you know, where is the word of faith? Where is faith? It's in your mouth.
I love that, Dennis, because sometimes you get caught up in the daily life, dishes, mm-hmm. whatever it is, and you just don't stop and realize what am I hanging on to, or what am I working on, or what? And then when you stop and you speak it, you're like, oh. I didn't even realize I've been hanging onto this for 2 days or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But you're right.
And
go ahead.
Well, I was gonna, because you talked a lot about the realms, you know, like you know, heaven isn't necessarily just placed above the clouds, but it is a different realm, and there are, you know, there are different realms of spirit, you know, things we can't see that go on. And when you speak something forth, you're not just speaking it to yourself, you're speaking it to everything. And it's basically like when you first profess your faith, it's almost just kind of like the universe says game on, you know, it's just like everyone stands to attention and you put yourself in the, like, that's kind of when life begins.
Yeah. You and I do all the time is speak it to one another as it's coming out of our.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We speak the word. What is the word? The word is the faith. It's what God is seeing, what God says. That's faith. So we speak that word. And what Jesus would say, he would see the Father doing something. He would hear in his spirit what the Father was saying, and that's what he would, be healed, or whatever it was. The instruction just came. He would speak it. Now, I was reading this morning. It is so profound when you think about Jesus. He is the Word. He's the speaking forth of God. It's so deep, it's so profound. I'm still trying to get, asking God for more and more understanding of that. When God said, "Let there be light," he was speaking forth the Word into the realms, as you say, Beth, and it happened. Light happened. All down through Genesis, he spoke it. Let there be the firmament, let there be birds, whatever, and it came into being. But it's interesting, until he spoke it, none of those things happened. And when he spoke that was Christ.
Yeah.
All right? And that's why it says nothing was created. Nothing was created without Christ, that in him all is created, heavens and earth, whatever, as Beth said, whatever realms, and all has its cohesion in Christ. I don't know if you're catching this, but that just confirms in me the power of speaking the word. You're speaking Christ, mm-hmm. the most powerful creative force in the universe. Now, it does it change the situation, or does it actually just open our eyes to the fact of what God already has done or is doing? And it aligns ourselves to realize, Father,
it changes our attitude, Dennis.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's all, just, our attitude is so critical. Mm-hmm. Just like Chrissy and Andy saying about their truck breaking down, you know, mm-hmm. At one time you could just swear and kick the tire, or, you know,
yes.
What? Yeah. Look at the difference between the attitude there. That's mm-hmm. that's the whole.
Oh, wow. And it brings on a whole different frame of reference and. It confirms that peace that's already there. It lets that peace come forth.
That's a good point. It was already there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All they're doing is opening their eyes up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And peace was already there.
Mm-hmm. So that then begs the question in my mind, and maybe
just have to realize.
Why did your truck break down?
Well, it's funny. I kind of like it when it happened. I knew that God's already got a fix for this, so it was like nothing to worry about. And that's kind of how I've been seeing things more lately. When they come up, why did it break down?
Yeah,
I don't really.
I've seen
belt was bad.
We used to say, I've been bad. I know this is my punishment. I know this.
But I think that we don't fully know all of it, but I think we've already seen some of it. I think that like Arnold was saying, that piece that was already there, and then it was like, we tapped in. We really feel it now and are seeing it and really have it. And that has been part of it, huge part of it. Because like it I don't know, life was just going on day to day. And then it really kind of took something for us to really understand, ah, that peace is with us always. And if we are fighting against it, if, you know, that's another thing, that's worry, that's stress. But if you can really focus on that peace, it's there. So I definitely think that's part of it, but who knows what else is to come.
I don't need to wreck my peace anymore. I've had so many reasons to be upset.
Sure. Or
have lost my peace, and I've gone through that. And it's like at this point now, I'm like, I ain't letting anything do that. So I'm just staying focused on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Plus I can't. And like things have been so good lately for us. It's like, I don't even, when the truck thing happened, it was just like, it was, I don't know. I don't know what you believe about this stuff, but to me, it was the devil trying to trip us up again and make us lose that joy we have.
Okay.
Well, I think,
and I'm just not gonna let that happen anymore.
So it's kind of like in the moment you feel like, okay, I can either be worried and stressed, which to me is, you know, it's not from God, so it's, you know, coming from another side, or I can be peace and joy, and that is all God. Yeah. And so it's really the other part that we've really been talking about and thinking about is if we're really living, I don't want to waste my life. To me, the worry and the stress, that feels wasted.
It is.
Because I don't feel focused where it should be. I don't feel in what I should be.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gets so much, once, like Arnold was saying, once that you realize and eyes are open, it becomes a lot easier to do it again and again and again. Because life's life, and it's just that. Mm-hmm. But.
Now, I don't want to get us clear off track here, but we talk about not letting Satan get away with it or take our joy, or we say he's a thief and traitor. But think about, is he willy-nilly acting on his own? Does he have the authority to steal and whatever?
That's part of reading Job, uh-huh. And I have varying degrees of pain on that. After all things I've gone through from being a child to now,
yeah.
I can look at my life and it's kind of, I don't know, I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I think God is ultimately in control of all that.
Sure.
I see the thing that God allows the devil to do to you are just shape you into being more of the person he wants you to be. So I see the trials as strengthening my faith, my walk with him. I don't know, like Job, I get the vibe that he was kind of, God was like proving a point to Satan, you know, that like you can't really mess with my people.
Yeah. And he Satan had to stand before God and get permission, didn't he?
Yes. Yes. He did.
I've always thought, whoa, then that means he wasn't given permission indiscriminately to do what he wanted.
But in a way, it was more like God was, it wasn't really so much a permission thing. It was like a challenge was thrown down. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to be able to trip this guy up. I promise you that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was all up to God from the start. That's how I see that.
But like you're saying,
that's how I saw it.
It's God. I mean, God is the power. So it's like, that's in our day-to-day, if we're worry, stress, or joy and peace, you know, where's the power? Enjoy. Mm-hmm. And so that's really, you know, don't give any kind of, don't give any of you to,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Satan.
I love that phrase, Genesis 50, chapter 50, verse 20, where Joseph says to his brothers, of course, you know the story, his brothers basically sold him into slavery, disowned him, got rid of him. And he says to his brothers, when now they realize who he is, he's alive, he's standing in front of them, they're going, oh crap, we're done. It's revenge, it's karma time. But no, he says, wait, he says, what you intended for evil.
Yeah.
What was the next, what's the next part?
God
intended for good.
Amen.
That phrase to me explains volumes.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
On how God, he's not the cause of evil.
No.
I love Norman Grubb when he says, Satan is God's convenient agent.
Yep.
Want to get a little evil done? Okay, here, Satan, suck him. Now, why does God do that? What's he intending?
Because we wouldn't really know the good. We wouldn't really understand how good God really is.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, truly.
No.
And there's so many, you're exactly right, I agree. So many things in life we wouldn't have a clue about where God is in it and what's he doing and what's the best for us, and even in sickness and pain, and we say, oh, Satan is just trying to destroy and he's going to steal my life. And I go, wait, and a lot of people use that old phrase, God is allowing me to teach, he's allowing this to happen. How can God be in control of everything and then allow something?
Mm-hmm.
And you ever realize that that's almost oxymoron to think that. How is he in control of everything and then allows something? Then he's not, if he allows something, he's not in control of it.
He's in control.
Right?
No doubt about it.
I had a conversation on Twitter yesterday, back and forth with this, I don't know who the guy was. I posted a Bible verse. It was from me in Romans 8. And someone else commented on it, and this guy hates God. Positive, he's a myth. And I went on there and was just like, really nice the guy. It was my original post. I felt like I should say something to him. I wasn't like, I think he got met, usually the kind of person gets met with like a lot of anger and, you defense, know, you're wrong and defend God. So I was like, if you feel settled in your beliefs, you know, that makes you feel good, you know, so be it. I don't, not much else I can say. When someone's that turned off to God, you know, not much you could say, but afterwards he was actually started to be like nice to me, and it was like it was much more easygoing, and that was good to see. I think that like people get like really irritable about the whole devil idea, you know, mm-hmm. like they don't understand that God is God. And I think that's what happened with the truck last night. I was like, God, and there's somebody in this for me. And it felt more calm than I have in a while, a long time. Normally I react to things.
Yeah, but even that encounter with this person, it's somebody who's obviously in an agitated, upset state. And
I didn't get bugged.
Yeah.
And
didn't reciprocate that same kind of a mm-hmm. that coming at, and Andy's like, I'm just gonna strangle him with kindness.
I'm strangle him with God's love.
Like, I kinda like that.
Did my corner of Twitter, Andy. Never happened.
I was strangling with love. I love like
I was just being extra nice to him. Like, yeah. Hell is driving him crazy. He's gonna rise out of me. That's what they want a lot of them. They want,
sure.
want yeah. to anger you. And I was like, yeah. I'm just gonna be nice, be kind, mm-hmm. be like Christ as much as I can be.
There you go.
I can imagine that Christ probably felt that way a lot with people, but you know, he had love, and so he's gonna love people. I'm sure he got that people hate a bit much, you know.
The ridicule and just harassment that he had to take from his own people, particularly the Jewish church, the Jewish people, the religious leaders. But then I think at that last moment when he felt all the forces of hate coming at him,
mm-hmm.
hanging there on the cross.
I love the parts where they talk about how they're trying to grab him. And like you said, Jesus slipped out of the way.
Yeah, right. Not now, people. But think of it. What he uses that power that's available to him. He's hanging on the cross, excruciating pain. Mm-hmm. And it's so dark and so oppressive. And he uses his mouth to do what?
Forgive.
Father, forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. So there again is the speaking into that situation, speaking the word of love and forgiveness. And then he could say, and I'm not sure the exact sequence here, you could check me on this, but I believe it was shortly after that, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He could go in peace.
Right. Mm. I always say forgiveness is the key that opens the door to love.
Yes.
And it is. I mean, that's what Christ did. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, he loved us before that, and that's why he did that, but it allowed us to be free. You know?
Forgiveness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no small thing, that's for sure.
But you see where our part in that is?
Yes.
The love of God is so overwhelming, but how do we see it apply to our lives sometimes? How do we see it affect or transform us? I believe it comes down to that simple little thing, and it's not simple, it's powerful, and it's crucial. That's just speak it. I know some nights, I don't know why, I lay in bed some nights and can't sleep, and I have learned, and you might think this is kind of weird, but I just, Jesus, you are my life. And I've learned to speak that.
Yeah.
Because my old self would worry and thinking about other kinds of things and problems, whatever. Well, what is that? That's that stuff trying to come back and place itself in my consciousness. It doesn't belong there. Jesus, you are my life.
I think those things are distractions. That's really, they are meant to try and distract you from what you're saying. Jesus, you are my life.
Yeah. There are days, and I'm sure all of you, you don't, there's no way that you feel you live it, that Jesus is me, I'm Jesus. There's no way. But then as you begin to articulate it and say it, oh, okay. All right. That makes sense. Okay, that feels right. And it opens up.
Earlier, Dennis, you asked the question of Andy and Chrissy, so why did the truck break down?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really the wrong question.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
React to the trucks breaking down in our lives. You know, are we going to seek God first?
Yeah. Okay.
Is all in all.
Yes. Yeah. So, you broke up a little bit. Say, rephrase how you think it should be. You know that question. I agree with you. That's not the right question.
Yeah, it's not the right question. How are we going to deal with the trucks breaking down in our life?
Mm-hmm.
In reference to God is all in all, and
yes,
we are in Christ.
Yeah.
It's what you said there. Your reaction. That is so key. Because there's an opportunity in every situation to have your reaction be, you know, a certain way. That's totally up to you. And that's just it. How are you going to react? How are you going to see God in this?
Period. I think that was it. I just didn't. Like, I felt peace about it. Like, I felt like at ease with it. It was just, I don't know. I don't know what that is exactly. It just felt like I knew this was going to get taken care of, and I don't want to make it into a bigger deal than it is, obviously, but it's hard. I don't know.
It's interesting.
I'm sorry. I had brain cancer. So it started breaking down and feels like nothing.
My brain broke down. But
That's a good way to put perspective.
For me, it's, I mean, for me personally, that's, you know, how I saw it.
So then I look to Jesus, because what you're saying, Arnold, really hit me, the reaction. What was Jesus's reaction a lot of times? And it's just like Andy said, sometimes just none at all. Like there were so many times when I'm like, oh my gosh, he could have said this, or he could have done this, or whatever. But he's in perfect peace, and he doesn't need to react. It's like, oh, okay.
And Arnold, your point is so well taken. Mm-hmm. Why is not the word Jesus ever used? Why, Father? No, he didn't have to ask the Father why. He just trusted him so implicitly. Okay, Father.
Our reaction is the only thing we have control over. We can't control the why. Mm-hmm. But in life, as you know, we only can control ourselves. That some of us think we can control others, but it's a losing battle.
I spent a lot of my time trying to understand the why, and really, it doesn't matter what you think. You know?
Mm-hmm. It's trust.
It better if you use trust. Yeah. Life is a lot better than just life.
Arnold has reminded me, I used to, people would come and they'd say, well, why did my husband have to die? And why did my son commit suicide? And I learned if I tried to reason with people and say, well, maybe because, and I realized these are the wrong questions. So your point is so well taken. The question is really, what really is happening here? What is this situation all about in terms of God's faithfulness and his grace and what he's showing about himself? Mm-hmm. Or even better, the word how. How do we move on beyond this? How do we take the next step?
We talked about just learning to let things kind of roll off you. Mm-hmm. And it's not even that. It's learning that God's already got it. Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it too for me is that I got into a thing where in a good time or bad time, in a trial and a blessing, or you know, however you're going to see it, it's all from God. So I want it all, you know. I mean, that's kind of how I see it. So if it's coming at me, I know it's God. I know he's working it out for his glory. I know he's intending all of it for good, and I trust that. And so it's sort of like, yes, you know, whatever it is, I'm good with it. So, mm-hmm.
Wow, can just be so at peace in your world, in your space. Just all is good.
Hey, Dennis.
Yeah,
you know. We are also kind of transitioning into the church, Jesus as his church. And when you start adding what we're talking about individually to other people around us, and then there's going to be afflictions with people around us. And the different personalities and different the people are aware of Christ differently at different times. I was just reading in Colossians here, and I'm going to read a verse to you. This is Colossians 124.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about Paul's labor for the church.
Yes. Yeah.
And it says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up my flesh, which is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church." Help me understand that a little bit. What is that? It's a new international version, so it's not the New King or whatever.
Yeah.
What is Paul saying?
I ponder that as well. Why does Paul believe, apparently believing, that he has to go through a certain amount of affliction to see the body of Christ grow. Okay. Where is it he's coming from? Why has he come from that perspective that this is going to be a struggle? I'm willing to take it on, and I'm going to, in a sense, he's saying, I'm filling up in my flesh in his stead. Whose stead? He must be meeting Christ. That there's yet more, the deficiencies of the afflictions of Christ. So where there needs to be more affliction in order for his body, which is the ecclesia of which I have become a dispenser. You remember Paul was told in the original commission statement, remember to, what was his name, Ananias? Remember Ananias says, God called him and said, hey, there's a guy named Saul. He's had a blinding experience on his road to Damascus, and I want you to go see him and pray over him that he, you know, heal him and fill him with the Holy Spirit. And he said to Ananias, Paul, for Paul to realize how much he will suffer for the body of Christ. Right? That's not the exact words, but in a sense, Paul was commissioned to lay down his life in so many ways for the body of Christ to grow and prosper. Why does God say we have to suffer for some things to happen? I mean, that's how I'm perceiving it. Why did Paul have to endure so much persecution and suffering for the sake of the church, of the ecclesia?
And the phrase for the sake of the church, mm-hmm. Let's assume just for a moment that each one of us on this call and those that were here this morning mm-hmm. are his church.
Yeah.
And we're talking about individual afflictions or things that have happened, the truck breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean in terms of his church?
So a little further on into that, into the verses, kind of getting into 27, talking about the riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. And that awakening, that revelation to the mystery of Christ in us has happened for us. It's absolutely life-changing. And without the affliction, without the sufferings, what do we hope for? We hope for the hope of glory. I mean, I think that, and to see that refinement, all of the trials and the refinement that works in that, man, I see blessings in a totally different way now. I see uh-huh. mm-hmm. me, through me. I really do. Without it, I wouldn't see it like that. I wouldn't understand.
Isn't that powerful? But you think of the world at that time, how opposed or how dark the world was. The Greek gods and immorality and the Roman life that brought in so much corruption. It was not going to be an easy task to preach this evangel. And Paul needed to be braced for it. It was not going to be just simple, pie in the sky. Everybody's going to say, oh, wow, Paul, we agree, and let's go. And the word spread, and everything was just great, and everybody agreed, and no resistance. No, it was going to be a huge, epic battle. This is the battle of the ages. The universe is wow, the evangel, the light is coming into a darkness, and the darkness is going to resist.
I think God uses pain, hard times to kind of sift out the people who can't handle it, you know? And then he toughens people that can.
Yeah.
And those are his chosen people.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask another question. Was Paul, how do I say this? Was he a good man, all perfect? Everything was, I mean, his life was without any kind of dysfunction or... Did he have a stubborn streak, maybe? Did he have any anger, maybe?
For sure.
You think maybe he wasn't the perfect man that we think he was?
For sure.
Yeah, we get this idea that Paul was just transformed and he was just this goody-goody. Everybody loved him. No, he said so much to the contrary. People didn't like him.
Well, and Dennis, here's what's funny. When even the disciples, I mean, Jesus is standing in front of the disciples, mm-hmm. speaking to them, and they're like, how can this be? What are you talking about? I mean, it's like, I could not be more in your face. Like, I am telling you exactly what's going on or what's happening, whatever.
Mm-hmm. When did he buy sheep?
So Paul needed a lot of, we'll say, I'll use a biblical word, perfecting.
Yeah.
Do you know that says the same thing about Jesus? Now the English translation in Hebrew says he learned obedience through his sufferings. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not, I don't believe that's the way it should be translated. He was perfected through suffering. That's where the real Greek is. Perfect, what do you mean? Well, it's the same idea. What happens with understanding God's love? John talks about being perfected in love. What is that? That's coming to a fuller realization of who we are. Mm-hmm. Understanding the Father, understanding mm-hmm. our place in the Father, all in all. I mean, there's so much there that even Jesus was learning in his humanness. Paul had to learn. We learn. Same thing.
Once the revelation happens, there's no denying, there's no going back. So that's
yeah, you're ruined.
In the best way, yeah.
Yeah, I've said that, guys. I'm sorry I ruined all of you by just telling you you're Jesus. And I see all of you are just running back. I'm sorry. running back to religion. I'm sorry.
So when I'm cranky, and then I realize that, that people around me are really there to help and I need to bless them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was cranky. You know, I was mean, maybe. Yeah. You know, yeah. Maybe I lost my temper.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Yes. Yeah. To own that and to see how the transformation yet needs to happen in our lives. Oh, God, thank you. More areas where I was misunderstanding who I am.
And Dennis, he says, for the hope of glory, as Chrissy said, you know, it becomes the hope of glory, not just for me, but for his people, his purpose, for all of us.
Yeah.
For the hope of glory.
Arnold, especially your immediate family, right? I mean, wife and your son and. Yeah, everybody that you connect with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Would it be too simplistic to say, you know, the point of suffering or, you know, when we go through that, I mean, it does draw us closer to God. It pulls us in and it, because I mean, I know I'm guilty of this. I really dive in deeper and my eyes are, you know, very focused on God during suffering. And the Bible says he's jealous for us. Like he wants that. He wants our attention. He wants that interaction. I don't know. I don't know my point.
No, you made it. Yes.
You made the point.
Yeah, that's good.
It's kind of like the Footprints poem. I mean, you know, he's with you always, but then it's like, gosh, I'm suffering. And then you do draw closer and he draws. I mean, like, whew, I need you right here, right now. And and I think that's great. I love that. Mm.
It sure helps me too when I say, well, thank you for showing me that. Thank you, God, for showing me that. Yeah.
There you go. Speaking thanks.
For opening my eyes. Yeah, and thank you.
And this is the will of God for you in everything. Give thanks.
Yeah.
I have to say, in physical pain, that is one of the hardest times to be joyful, to be grateful, to be any of that is very, very difficult. It is so easy to be cranky. And I hear it 100%. The only thing I think about in that moment is it's that same kind of a thing where I can't stop this physical pain right now, but the reaction, which is exactly what you were talking about earlier, how do I react to it? Cranky actually makes me feel worse. I mean, whether in the moment, that's just a natural reaction to feeling physical. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, I'm going to somehow, you know, look beyond that physical pain to find the joy, to find the peace in this, and may find the physical pain gets a little bit less. At very least, you're not adding to it with feeling even worse in attitude or anything, but not easy, Arnold. Not easy at all.
It's been a great discussion, guys. Great conversation on this. And every time we talk about this subject, more lights go on, more understanding and realizing of God goes on in our lives. It's a huge, profound principle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as we go forward, what we've been talking about here, I need to understand better what that means for his church.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What does church mean?
Arnold, exactly. Just this morning, I was rehearsing and going through. I thought I knew what the word church really meant. So I did some study. I don't know if we want to take time today. I think I'll reserve it for maybe next week. It'll be kind of the catcher, you know, reason you'll have to come back for next week. Do a little study on your own this week. Go in your Google and search for the meaning of the word church. What's the etymology? And you'll be interested to know how the word church in our English doesn't fit the word in the Greek. And how often what it's led to in our misunderstanding of what that is. The Greek word, and if you no versions that I know of, except Concordant, choose to use the original, transliterate the original Greek word. And that word is ekklesia. And the English writers early on decided to use the word church. And I'll let you discover what that word in English and Greek English and German, the old Anglo-Saxon, there was also some Dutch words. And I'll let you find those and it'll be an interesting conversation. So yes, timely question.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's continue to watch for God this week.
Thanks, Dennis.
Truck's
breaking down. Let's see. What else can happen? No, I don't want to know.
Don't.
All right, everybody. Take care.
Bye, Jerry. Bye, John.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good week.
Have a good week.
Have a good week.
All right. Bye.